The Digital Puritan, Volume 3, Book Number 1. To the Christian Reader. Recently, I have found tremendous refreshment in the deep, cool waters of the 40th chapter of Isaiah, a prophecy that was dispatched to give hope and encouragement to God's people as they wallowed in captivity in Babylon. Isaiah's word taught them to depend upon God alone for deliverance, to cleave to Him and not turn aside. Are we who are in the world but not of it so much different than they? We feel the great tension between the now and the not yet, even as a guitar string whose pitch rises higher and higher as it is wound tighter. We cringe at the expectation of its imminent breaking. We find ourselves held captive, as it were, by a society whose standards we find oppressive and offensive to God's holiness, whose agenda stands in opposition to the peaceful heavenly community that we long for. We see the wisdom of the men who shape policy for the foolishness it is, when we compare it to the mind of God as it is revealed in the Bible. As we watch the fabric of morality and just society unravel bit by bit with each passing year, it is difficult to avoid feeling a sort of defeat, and we long to see God's kingdom established with power and authority in more tangible ways. This is the backdrop against which verses 12 through 17 are set. In this text, we catch a glimpse of how great and glorious of being God is. Number one, He is all-powerful. That's verse 12. His reach is vast. The universe is measured by the span of His hand, and all the world's oceans fit in His cupped hand. His strength is great. The mountains and hills are moved about as if they were items to be weighed. He created and maintains everything by His mere will. Number two, His wisdom is unsearchable. Those are verses 13 through 14. He does not take suggestions from man on how he might best govern His creation, because there is no idea He has not already considered. He sees interwoven events unfolding with an intelligence and perspective that man cannot begin to comprehend. And not even the smallest detail escapes His attention. He knows every circumstance perfectly and orchestrates the right end by the proper means. Romans 8, verse 28, Genesis 50, verse 20. Number three, the nations of the world are nothing in comparison to Him. Those are verses 15 through 17. All the policymakers that we feel powerless to contradict, all those who would set themselves up against the sovereignty of God, even these are not as weighty as dust on the scales. They have no eternal significance and will soon be forgotten. Mankind is impressed with the large stones of the temple, but should rather regard that God, in His sovereignty, will not permit two to remain stacked, one upon another. Mark 13, verses 1 through 2. In the ordering and execution of His sovereign will, God neither values man's assistance nor regards his resistance as anything. And so upon this, Matthew Henry concludes, "Let this beget in us high thoughts of God and low thoughts of this world, and engage us to make God and not man both our fear and our hope." This magnifies God's love to the world, that, though it is of such small account and value with Him, yet for the redemption of it, he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16. Thank you for reading. It is my hope that you will find refreshment and renewal as you read and reflect upon the teaching presented in this issue. Vulgo Vitis Veritas, the editor, Dr. Gerald Nick. I am your narrator, Dwayne A. Lynn.